This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Yeah, buddy, it's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up at 5:20, ESPN's Quarterback Confidential. This is juicy. 103 players ranking the league anonymously, and there's some really interesting talking points in there. Speaking of interesting football talking points, it's time for an edition of The Finest, and here's Eric.
All right, well, Frank Gore Jr., he was the highest graded rookie back, according to Pro Football Focus, for the preseason. Last we
rookie
saw
rookie back, right?
Rookie back,
but
yeah.
But the highest graded back was
Abanikanda.
Israel Abanikanda, and he made the Jets right yes. now. Okay.
Yeah, it looks like he's going to be at least their kick returner, and then maybe he's their backup to Breece Hall.
Yeah, he plays on all the special. He was a punt return, punt team. He was on kickoff return. So, yeah, he plays all the spots. I watched him this morning thinking he might get way, but no use now.
Did you watch Frank Gore?
No, I could do it right now.
Let's watch Frank Gore Jr. because he tore it up. I mean, over the weekend in the preseason finale, he had 18 carries for over 100 yards and a touchdown. That's fresh legs. We know about the DNA. And if the Bills are going to throw him out there, which they have, didn't make the initial roster there for Buffalo, I'm sure they're trying to get him back on the practice squad. But
sure.
Getting some young, fresh legs in here might not be the worst thing in the world. I know it's like, hey, we got Zeke. We're kicking the tires on Dalvin Cook, but I think youthful energy, fresh legs, more tread is what you want on the tires of your running back. So, and let's not forget, his dad on draft day said, quote, folks slept on my son. They slept on me too. They'll see. My bloodline is for real.
Well, I might make an exception for Frank Gore. I don't know. Like, how often is it that a team keeping three backs lets a guy go that's got some juice? You know?
It's a fair question. Totally fair question.
Brian, I'm looking at you for the answer.
I'm trying to watch Frank Gore film over here. What are you doing? Okay.
No. That's my bad.
I'm just kidding.
We know Brian.
What was your question? I was
welcome
serious.
To the sort of, show, Brian.
Thank you, man. So what do we need to know?
No, I was just asking.
Is Frank Gore even that good if he didn't make the Bills roster? Like, if he couldn't make their roster.
No, guys make mistakes all the time.
Teams make mistakes.
Teams make mistakes all the time. I mean, I'm gonna consider and act like I know who all Buffalo has at the running back room. But yeah, teams make mistakes on these guys. And so, yeah, maybe you get a little cute. Cowboys did it with Matt Moore, didn't get Matt Moore back. He went out and had like a 12, 13-year career throwing the ball around. Yeah, you make mistakes. John Ridgeway, you know, that was a mistake. Cowboys shouldn't have waived John Ridgeway. What did they do? They didn't get him back. You know, so, yeah, teams make mistakes. I think what you do is you do your due diligence and you look at the pro tape. He's a rookie. You probably have an idea of what you thought about him in the college, you know, the college grading scale last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, okay, well, maybe the tape in the NFL is better than what the college tape. What's called Southern Miss, right?
Yeah.
He's had a lot of games where he had a ton of carries, but big, big yards for a back. And Southern Miss wasn't a great team. But, yeah, I think that there's to sit there and say that, oh, wow, something's probably wrong with the kid. I think maybe it's more about Buffalo, and maybe they have other backs that they would rather have, you know, on their roster.
All right, well, you're going to check him out and let us know, Frank Gore Jr.
Unless Dawson ask another damn question.
He's available.
I mean, my gosh, I'm over here trying to do eight things.
I appreciate Dawson. It, man. I think you're doing a podcast at the same time, too. So
I am. I was trying to do a podcast. I'm sorry. I literally was like, you know, sometimes somebody will ask you a question, you don't hear anything they say.
Yeah, that was
and then
my
you
wife
just
and
comment, and it's not even anything that they asked you about.
I've been there, dude. It's all right. You're putting that work in.
No,
I appreciate your film work right there. Yeah. You go crunch that film. You come back to us. Let us know about Frank Gore Jr.
Well, just keep talking. We'll maybe have some ideas.
Can you succeed with a 4.58 40 in the NFL today?
I don't think Emmitt Smith was the fastest guy in the world.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just saying, it was one of the reasons. Remember a guy named Curtis Enos?
Yes.
He was drafted by the Bears in the first round.
Yeah.
I remember telling Jeff Lurie this, the owner of the Eagles. He's like, yeah, Brian, we don't have Curtis Enos up there very high. And I'm like, Mr. Lurie, he's a 240-pound back, and all he does is going to get slower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bigger they are, the slower. They're just going to keep getting slower and slower and slower. And he's like, you know, I don't know. I'm like, well, I go, please just trust me on this one.
Nice
and,
job.
And he did. And so, yeah, and then he went to the Bears in the first round, and he looked at me like, okay, dumbass.
Yeah.
You know, but
man, there were a lot of running backs busted in that era.
Oh yeah. That Kajana Carter's, but he got his knee banged up and stuff like that. But there were a lot of backs, you're right, in that era that just didn't work out very well.
Okay. I have 10 things that Ted Wynn of The Athletic learned from the NFL preseason. He's one of the better football brains out there. Yeah. He's got some interesting talking points.
Ted Wynn?
No. What about me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, brought us as well.
Okay.
He's the broadest of the West Coast.
I'm boxing you out right now so you can watch Frank Gore.
Okay, I appreciate it. That part I did hear, you know, that you thought Ted was a better guy than me.
No, I don't think he's better.
I'm going to do my job over here.
I think
here,
he's much better. All right. Warren Sharp had a quote from...
Warren Sharp's better than me, too.
From a defensive coach. And I want to start here because Ted Wynn has some different thoughts on the status of the Eagles and Kellen Moore right now. But I did want to bring a defensive coach in the NFL is quoted as saying this about Hurts in the Eagles offense right now. The word is out there. If you run zero blitz against Hurts or show zero and back everyone out, he will panic. That has to change. They lose Jason Kelce at center. He handled all the protections, basically did everything for them. And you bring in a coordinator in Kellen Moore who likes to drop back. So it will be interesting to say the least. Now,
tell me something I don't know.
Yeah, no, this is, I just want to set the table with that. You're not even supposed to be listening.
We talked about that before.
Wanted to set the table.
By the way, I pulled up, there are 69 plays that we can evaluate on this guy.
Nice.
69. Just thought I'd let you know
that. Good sign. Thank you. Yeah.
They're playing the Bear Down Bears here in 13-6 here in the, first quarter here.
So. Thank you. Thank you.
Good clarification.
Yeah.
Huge contribution there to the show.
I'm doing my best here. I'm really tired of carrying you two clowns, to be honest with you.
So Ted Wynn is now looking at this Eagles offense in the preseason, and his number one preseason takeaway in all of the NFL right now is that the Eagles offense is no longer stale. Now, we have to somewhat allow for the idea that Kellen Moore, who is still young and sort of in the infancy of his football coaching career, maybe he can develop and evolve and add and get better, okay? Because the Kellen Moore that we know here is not a Kellen Moore that's really helping you as it pertains to beating defenses, especially good defenses, consistently. So, but Ted Wynn is saying, hey, Eagles offense no longer stale based on what he's seen in the preseason. He says they need someone to inject new life into the playbook, and he says Kellen Moore may have actually just completely rewritten it. He says the Eagles were dead last in motion usage last season. He says he doesn't have preseason motion stats, but it appears they used motion on most of their snaps and were using it creatively. Moore used motion to create angles on run blocks and to get into certain pass concepts from unusual looks. So he's a little bit more bullish here now after seeing a few weeks of Eagle preseason football that maybe Kellen Moore is actually going to be a bit of an asset to Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni in a way that most of us probably weren't anticipating. I think that's one of the biggest questions about this Eagles team coming in. But if they nailed it with Kellen Moore, if Kellen Moore has sort of risen to the occasion and evolved his offensive philosophies here and added some more modern things to it, maybe, just maybe, the Eagles offense can actually be better and not continue to suck like it did majority of last season.
And that would be
a huge bummer.
That would be a double whammy for Kellen Moore to finally get it figured out with the Eagles have it, you know, put Jalen Hurts' career back on an upward trajectory. I'm not a big believer in Hurts. I think it is possible to optimize the offense if he's willing to run a lot. But, you know, the injuries that he's been through in his career, I think he's on the other side of that curve.
Any motion they run would be a first from Brian Johnson running motion.
Yeah, they were dead last year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a first-year coordinator that was over his head, you know?
Yeah.
Kellen Moore is a legitimate offensive coordinator, but anything's better than what Brian Johnson was doing last year for that.
Absolutely. You know, I think, though, he worked with Brandon Staley with the Chargers, obviously, from the McVay tree, and there's a lot of moments in time where Kellen Moore, who is a student of the game, could have that light bulb moment that, hey, this is what I really need to be doing here from this point forward, especially if you look at who's having the best results with offensive coaching. It is off that coaching tree, so... If this does happen, I would be interested in bringing Kellen Moore back, you know? if you fire your head coach and Kellen Moore is showing that he learned the McVay philosophy as far as motion during and after the snap is what's getting us an advantage, then, you know, I would hope the Cowboys would be open-minded to that.
He also has in his 10 things he learned from this preseason in The Athletic, Ted Wynn, he says the Chiefs look like they actually got better, which is totally fair because they were actually not even very good last year. They won in spite of so many issues they had offensively, bottom third in a lot of categories offensively last year. There's no way that happens again. Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes, and a newfound type of deep threat in a guy like Xavier Worthy. They sub out left tackle Donovan Smith for second round Kingsley Suamataia.
Well done.
And he is actually been pretty good to this point.
He sure has.
All of that, like, yeah, I do think with the amount of struggles that the Chiefs had last year, I don't expect that at all with their offense this time around. And they've added just enough pieces and everything like that to where they're probably going to be. I mean, Walchuk has them going undefeated, I think, in his football bold predictions this year.
I mean, Worthy, Brown, Sky Moore, Juju Smith-Schuster, you can kind of see weapons in there now. They had the second best defense in the NFL last year. I think that's overlooked. And, you know, what does the loss of L'Jarius Sneed and I think some of their linebacker depth do to them?
Now you have at number four, Cowboys continue to draft well. Ted Wynn acknowledging what we can all acknowledge. Now, last year's draft class, not ideal. This year's draft class, early returns, look like a home run. And he says with Tyler Guyton, only allowed one pressure on 56 snaps in the preseason, looked like a star against the Raiders starters in week two, still has some technical issues to clean up.
His hands are not great.
Right. We know Broaddus has pointed that out, but athletically, he's a freak show, finishes with purpose when run blocking. And he says it's hard to fake looking good at the line of scrimmage. Guyton appears to be a future star.
That's something I think is the most surprising. His hands are bad. His run blocking's good. Those are things you probably didn't expect, but with this guy. But his run blocking is impressive. And he didn't do a whole lot of that, I believe, at Oklahoma. But
we're going to have us a running game in 2025 for sure. As soon as you get a runner in here, those guys with some experience, this is going to be awesome.
Yeah, the trio from center to left tackle of Cooper Beebe and Tyler Smith and then Tyler Guyton, those three guys.
Got some power
young
inside.
Road graders. Yeah, I mean, my goodness, dude, that is pretty incredible. We'll see what happens with Zach Martin and Terrence Steele. But from center to left tackle, you feel like for the next half decade, you're just going to be rocking and rolling.
Might be a good left-handed team, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Most teams are right-handed when they, you know, the way they play because of their quarterback. But with Dak's ability to throw left and right, you might be a decent left-handed team.
Well, another preseason observation here is that the Steelers' offense is nowhere near as improved as they would have hoped. They have Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Are they better than Kenny Pickett? I guess. Only by slight margins, but otherwise their offense has still looked really, really bad. I mean, we did it last week. All of the it's just punt, turnover on downs, field goal. Like, that's how their possessions have gone with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields in this preseason. So that's going to be a disaster. Yeah. And fortunately, the Cowboys get to play him this year.
And this is the end, I think, the final 5 weeks of Russell Wilson being considered a starting level quarterback. He just fallen completely off the cliff from MVP candidate to objectively bad at the position.
Yeah, I think this is the last season of Russell Wilson's career. I don't think he's going to want to be a backup quarterback, and he's obviously made plenty of money. No team will give him even a chance to be a starting quarterback after this season. So I think this is it for him.
Yeah.
His other observation here is that, man, Spencer Rattler playing pretty well at quarterback there for the Saints, and he's thinking that the calls for Rattler will be loud when Derek Carr just is Derek Carr and throws interceptions and stuff like that and loses football games. Saints fans are going to be calling for Spencer Rattler, who is a guy that is super talented. He was drafted in the fifth round, had plenty of maturity issues throughout his college tenure, seems to have kind of gotten a grip on those a little bit, but he says efficient throwing motion, beautiful deep ball, and can manipulate the pocket as good as anybody at a youthful age like him. So Spencer Rattler, and he was a guy that I know coming out this past year, some people were like, hey, that's the kind of late round quarterback that might have some upside here if you want to take a flyer on a guy. And maybe Spencer Rattler will end up starting some games there in New Orleans this year.
Yeah, he's had moments where he's looked really, really good in college. I think if you watch him play against Tennessee, you would say he's probably a first round player. And in other days, he throws interceptions at an alarming bad rate. Yeah, like you watch him against Georgia and some of the teams with better defenses, gave him a little bit of problems.
Super talented guy, though.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of gave up on him, you know, just out of
having so many
opportunities in college and never making much of it.
Yeah.
The other observation here, NFL preseason, Malik Nabers, Giants, LSU wide receiver, top pick, rookie, absolutely looks like an instant impact dominator.
Yep.
And unfortunately, he's got Daniel Jones throwing him the football. But, you know, everybody was heavy on Marvin Harrison Jr. The closer you got to draft day, you had, it's like, well, Malik Nabers actually is probably the best wide receiver in this class. Mm-hmm. And he's done nothing to disprove that to this point, making some surefire, tough grabs from a crappy quarterback. That's going to be an interesting one to monitor throughout the year when he's going to be frustrated.
Yeah.
He's going to be super frustrated.
Oh, yeah. And, but, you know, and the Giants are starting to put together a collection of really good players that if they do get a quarterback in the next couple, 2-3 years, I could see a resurgence.
Everybody's super high on the Texans right now. Have them being Super Bowl contenders, according to Ted Wynn. We know that Diana Russini said that was the most impressive training camp practice she witnessed was a Texans one. They have the quarterback and the coach. Unless there's some ridiculous sophomore slump there, all they've done is just add to the roster from a talent standpoint, capitalizing on their young, cheap quarterback in C.J. Stroud. The only concern I have about the Texans this year is that they have one of the most difficult schedules in the sport. So that's going to be tough. And then obviously just being a franchise that's not used to any expectations, and now you have a ton of them. But I do still think that they are good enough from coach to quarterback to roster, and they're in a bad enough division to where that is still going to be a legitimate team here. Anthony Richardson is a takeaway quarterback for the Colts. He's got to improve his footwork. He was called out by Bengals defensive players in their joint practice. Like, dude, does all this guy do is run? He won't throw the football. So still some growing pains there with him. And then the other one is with the Raiders, and their use of 12 personnel will be historical. Mm-hmm. They drafted Michael Mayer in the second round last year out of Notre Dame. They just draft Brock Bowers. Unfortunately, that's another team that doesn't have a quarterback, but a lot of people are connecting Dak to that situation for next year.
Yep.
Be some great weapons to have. Yeah, and if you can line up in 12 and be a punishing run team and then throw out of that, that's one of the biggest hacks you can do still in the NFL. It's been an amazing trend for quite some time. It's time to hit the expressway. QB Confidential, 103 players rank the league anonymously. We'll give you everything else that's been developing in the world of sport. LA Live with Lucius is coming up at 5:40 as well, and we're back with it all in the nation. Welcome back, G-Back Nation. Hope you're having a good one. We're going to be at Shell Shack in Dallas, just right over here on Thursday after the Rangers game. And Friday, we're going to be at the ballpark, so please do come say hi. We're about 16 minutes now from LA Live with Lucius Alexander. I have a quarterback confidential coming to you here in just a second. 103 players rank the league anonymously. I love that, but Brian's been watching some Frank Gore Jr. released by the Buffalo Bills today. He was a camp cutdown. Brian, what do you think about this guy?
Good adjustments in the flat. So far, I've watched it. My system could break it down where I can watch all his carries. So I've seen so far the Bears game, and then now I'm into the Pittsburgh game. Good adjustments in the flat. I think he catches the ball easily. Looks like comfortable doing that. He's got really good quickness. He's kind of a short, choppy step guy. He'll bounce off tacklers. I like the way he attacks the hole. Like, he's got that low center of gravity that kind of keeps his balance right.
Low man wins.
Yeah, he runs with some good toughness. I think he's got some finishing ability to him. He can make the first guy miss. Sometimes these Buffalo backup offensive linemen will miss a guy, and then he's able to kind of jump to a side, little cut, and then get through the hole. I like the vision to make the cuts. I like the patience to allow the blocks to develop with him. They'll run this counter scheme where they'll pull the backside tackle and guard. He kind of just sits right behind those guys, and then he explodes into the hole there. I like the way he attacks the hole. But, yeah, we still got some plays to watch, but that's what we've seen so far. He looks like a guy that you might need to think about, you know, if putting a claim in for. I would of the guys you've got on this current group.
Well, you know, and we have to wonder, you know, would just being the best football player put you on this football team at this particular position?
Everybody likes their guys. That's the problem. Nobody has the guts to claim anybody anymore.
Yeah, that's the problem, because you know how they feel about Zeke.
And Dowdle is the best one in the room.
And then you know how they feel about Deuce with the family ties and the...
Deuce earned his way onto this team, though.
Sure. No question about that. Yeah. But, like, do you watch this Frank Gore guy and just putting everything aside, you'd rather have him over Deuce, would you not?
He looks like Frank Gore's got some stuff to his game. Right. Yeah. He really does.
And that's tough, you know, when a guy that basically ran a 4.6 a rookie was undrafted is, you know, better than at least two, maybe all of the guys in your room.
With Frank Gore, there looks like there's just some quickness to him. I mean, they're handing him the ball and they're not blocking this thing clean. And he's able to kind of slide and then boom, get up the field a little bit. I tell you what, I don't know what Buffalo, I'd like to know who else Buffalo has on their running back room.
I'll look.
Yeah, if you could, because maybe I need to watch those guys too. But this guy, Dallas probably didn't have something very good about him coming out. You know, and I'm sure I'll hear about it here in a little bit. But he looks like a guy that someone should put a claim in for.
Well, maybe he's got some juice to his name, being, you know, the son of one of the greatest running backs to ever do it.
He's got some of his dad's toughness. You could tell that by the way he's running this football.
They got, of course, James Cook. They got Ray Davis. They've got
Ray Davis, okay.
Ty Johnson, and then they've got Darrington Evans. That looks to be their room.
Wow, full room there. So not a lot of household names, but some good athletes in there. Yeah. I love what ESPN's doing here. This is NFL Nation from ESPN. 103 players answer 6 burning questions about quarterbacks. These are anonymous NFL players, and I love the way they kind of walk into this with the premise. The Chiefs can make history this season with the NFL's first three-peat, an achievement that would thrust quarterback Patrick Mahomes into the conversation of the greatest of all time. Up until this moment, you could say, well, you know, I think Patrick Mahomes is better than Tom Brady with the eyeball test, or I think he's going to accomplish more than Tom Brady. But up until now, you haven't had any objective stats or history that could make you, like, genuinely consider it. I'm already considering, you know, if you had an all-time player draft, would Mahomes go ahead of Tom? Because, you know, I think he kind of won it with rebuilding offenses in back-to-back years. Just incredible what Mahomes has already accomplished. But to do something statistically, historically, that Tom Brady hasn't, obviously would change the conversation.
Both played with tremendous Hall of Fame coaches. Both played in a salary cap era. So you have to give them high marks for that. Any quarterback that thrives in the salary cap era, because like your team is constantly turning over.
Yeah.
So, you know, the guys like, nothing against Staubach or Bradshaw or Joe Montana, they had the same teams for like 10 years. Those teams never turned over.
Mahomes chasing his 4th title already.
This guy's tough.
He is. Brady won 7, but did not win his 4th until his 15th season. Mahomes is entering his 8th. I think Brady going to a different team and winning it with Tampa and Bruce Arians
is just
unbelievable.
Yeah.
And one AFC South player says it's Brady, but if Mahomes three-peats, that's a different story. The survey granted anonymity so the players could respond candidly, asked them to rank quarterbacks in a lot of different categories, but we'll start with who is the GOAT. And if it's not Mahomes, what does he have to do to get there? An NFC South player said, no disrespect to Tom, but I'm taking Pat. Pat can do everything Tom can do, and he's mobile. I don't know if Pat can do everything that Tom could do. But
like what? Like
lack?
Like,
would you say, I wonder if when it comes to maybe reading defenses?
Tom was gifted in that department, and
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I wonder if you said, what's the difference between the two? Defensive manipulation? The way a thinking man's game?
Hey, listen, by year 20 Brady compared to now Mahomes, there's no question I will grant you that.
No, but I'm just saying.
In terms of Mahomes,
I'm not trying to make light of this. I'm just saying that.
I think Mahomes is very well respected for his football IQ and the way he sees and all of that stuff.
Brady takes that to another level, because Brady's not as talented as Mahomes. He's not.
Right.
But where he beats you is the way he thinks way through these games.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does. So Mahomes plays on feel a lot of times, I think.
Yeah, but I think he's also shown.
I don't think Brady could play on feel. I think Mahomes can.
Well, I think that Mahomes has shown, like, he can play whatever. If you want to play wide open And Brady showed this as well. 2007, you want to give me Randy Moss, I'll throw the ball all over the place and we'll score a bunch of points and I'll be incredibly efficient and it'll be big plays. It'll be amazing. You want to give me tight ends to work with. You want to give me very average receivers to work with and we dink and we dunk and it's efficient and I'm just boom, 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 getting the ball out real quick. I can do that as well. Mahomes just showed he can do the same thing.
Yeah.
If you're going to put me in an offense where it's like, hey, we just got to score 20 points. We got a good defense. We're going to play small ball. Fine. If you want to air it out and do MVP caliber stuff, I can do that. And it won't just be empty numbers. It'll be, I can still show up and be clutch in big games and indoor, outdoor. I think he's that guy. But at the same time, you'll have people that'll say, like in the 817, how can Mahomes be better than Brady if Brady beat him head to head twice? And Brady will always have that on Mahomes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Arrowhead, that was Mahomes' first year playing quarterback in the NFL. It was his second year in the league, but it was his first year playing AFC championship game. And that was a down to the wire crazy situation, but Brady bested him. And then the Bucs dominated the Chiefs in that Super Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a couple of things that you also have to look at. Tom Brady was so good in short yardage sneak situations.
Yeah.
Like he didn't get enough credit for his power and his prowess at the quarterback sneak.
How bad was our offensive line in that Super Bowl? Was that the one?
Oh, it was very bad.
Was that the one I remember that year they went out and got three dudes and drafted Creed Humphrey and all that?
I would argue it has to be a top two or three worst offensive line to ever play in a Super Bowl. Yeah.
There were a lot of players with respect for Tom Brady's career in this vote. And
played a lot of games.
Yeah, that longevity is just tough.
92 people ended up voting on this particular question, who's the GOAT, Mahomes or Brady? And how many do you think picked Tom?
I would say 75%.
I'm going to say a lot less than that. I'm going to say less than 50.
It was actually significantly more, 85 of the 92 votes. So somewhere around 90%.
I thought the modern player wouldn't give Tom Brady credit.
Well, Tom Brady is still modern. I mean, he just hung him up. Like all these young guys who are in the league right now, they all saw at least the last half of Brady's career, which was a Hall of Fame 10 years in and of itself.
The game that Mahomes had, that playoff run last year, I don't know if you'll ever see one like that again.
It's just about the respect for how long Brady was able to do it and all those accomplishments. But I think it's definitely a conversation now.
I mean, the way that Mahomes won the Super Bowl 2 years ago, you know, with his legs and making those big plays, he should be sacked. I just think you cannot fade that. And, you know, I don't think you can, you know, favor Brady if you think that things are equal inside the pocket. You know, giving Mahomes the ability to do that is, you know, something else. I don't know if Mahomes is going to have the super longevity career that Brady has, and I don't know how you score that. Yeah. But, you know, if you get similar amounts of Super Bowls in significantly less years, you know, like Super Bowl per season, I think will probably end up being a very important metric in this discussion.
Andy won't last that long.
Yeah, there's that. Andy
won't last that long, and that's going to be the detriment to
probably another 5 years with Andy at most.
I think so.
Late 60s?
Yeah, I think so.
Rank the top three current quarterbacks. 103 NFL players voted on this one. Patrick Mahomes got the most. Number two, a surprise for me.
Lamar?
Yes, Lamar Jackson. You know how the players love and fear speed.
Right.
They do. And it's hard to prepare for that guy.
And
you're going to find that out in week three.
Lamar's the guy with the most ability to embarrass you. Number three was Burrow. Other top vote getters, Josh Allen ended up with 39 points, and Aaron Rodgers got the fifth best composite score here. Mm. As Mike Sando told us last hour, he was the most difficult quarterback
to grade.
Yeah, to grade. Yeah. Some people still think he's like a tier one guy, and then some people think he's as down as tier four.
Okay, which of the rookie quarterbacks will have the most successful career? And then after we get through these three, we'll have most overrated and underrated and some interesting Dak takeaways.
They're going to say Caleb Williams, I believe.
Yeah, it came down to Williams, Daniels, and McCarthy.
McCarthy's out.
Williams with 34 vote points. Daniels coming in second with 30th. I just can't see, you know, how I would really favor either of those two considering the organization they're in. I can't go Caleb Williams. I think any success in my lifetime that Chicago has experienced has been very short-lived. Even in the 80s, they had that one magical year in 85. Other than that, like, Jim McMahon was just a pretty good quarterback. And then you go through like the Rex Grossman, you know, deal and the Kyle Orton deal, you know, but I'm really having to stretch my memory to find the periods of time where Chicago had any measurable success and then followed through on it. I think everything they say that you don't like about the way that the Joneses run it actually applies to the Chicago Bears when it comes to the dysfunction.
What if I told you that in fantasy land, Bill Belichick takes over next season there in Chicago?
Then, I would rather have Ben Johnson if it was in Chicago. I can't keep busting on these quarterbacks. I can't keep. You mentioned all these. I draft Mitch Trubisky, but you know I can't.
So you want to go get an offensive guy? Yes. I get that totally. Yes. And I think that's even better for sure.
What was our guy? He's now in Kansas City. They got him from Kansas City. The guy that was before Matt Eberflus. The ball headache. Why am I can't?
Oh, I know exactly. Yeah, I see his face, and I can't remember his name now.
Texan, who the guy is.
Son of a gun.
I can't remember his name.
Bears coach.
He's a coordinator now with the...
he had a fancy resume and everything, and they were thinking he was going to be the guy.
First year, he got into the playoffs, and then after that, he was garbage. They're going to go get an offensive...
Matt Nagy.
There you go. Matt Nagy, I'm sorry, I couldn't remember that.
I don't trust Belichick to find the offensive guy who's going to make Caleb Williams thrive.
No, that's why I'm going to get Ben Johnson. He's in my division. I'm going to get a guy that knows my division and how to beat the division. That's what I'm going to go do.
Yeah, I just think when it comes to team building and personnel, like that front office and the way that the family meddles in the affairs is going to make things difficult.
The McCaskies.
So I would prefer to have Belichick, who I in theory would kind of take things over and be, you know, the face of the personnel and the main visionary. Okay, we go to here. This is a ESPN's Quarterback Confidential. Most overrated quarterbacks in the NFL. Who did they vote for? I do have to pass along.
Might be that guy with the Chargers.
Dak Prescott got zero votes.
Oh.
Nobody thinks he's overrated in the NFL, which is cool. That's a feather in his cap. Amongst the 103
players.
Oh,
do they have
players.
An underrated category?
They do have a most underrated.
I bet she gets some votes in that.
And he did.
Oh, did he? Okay.
He was not top five, but he was amongst the guys also getting votes. So there's a good level of respect there for Dak Prescott. But
the overrated guy, I'm curious, who is the overrated guy? Is it Justin Herbert?
Herbert?
Is it Matthew Stafford?
I bet you they think Allen is an overrated guy. Okay.
Josh Herbert comes in fourth, or Justin Herbert comes in fourth. Josh Allen comes in number one.
Yeah. Mm.
But the voting was very close. Jalen Hurts number two.
Ooh, oh, wow.
That's a great one. Wow.
Tua tied with him.
Tua's a great one, too.
Then Justin Herbert. Then Trevor Lawrence at five. Deshaun Watson at six. Kyler Murray at seven and Brock Purdy coming in eighth there. But, I mean, the eighth most voting points is Brock Purdy with six of them, and Josh Allen had just 11. Most underrated quarterback. Biggest trash-talking quarterbacks out there. The top vote getters for the biggest trash talkers from the quarterback position in the NFL.
I'm going to throw one out there that I think is maybe underrated. Because it just the way that he carries himself. Is Baker Mayfield on that list?
Baker Mayfield, gotta number be. Two on the list.
Oh, is he number two?
Wow. Can't beat up anybody other than punters and kickers in the NFL, but he's out there talking the most trash.
Wow. Maybe Josh His Allen,
short
too.
Arms.
Is Josh Allen in
Josh
there?
Allen, number one on the okay. list, and that is was he? Kind of a runaway
yeah.
with 26 voting points. Aaron Rodgers comes in third.
There you go.
Number four is Patrick Mahomes, actually.
Nice.
With his Kermit the Frog voice, he's barking out some trash. Joe Burrow at number five, significantly less. He seems like a massive trash talker, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah, I mean, there were epic stories about him in college squaring off with, like, Patrick Queen, who was a linebacker for LSU, and they'd go toe-to-toe, and they were jawing back and forth in these practices. I know they've done some deep dives on that LSU team, and I think they would confirm Joe Burrow being a guy who can – give you a little trash talk.
Yeah, and CJ Stroud getting some votes as well, which is surprising.
Like
he seems so nice
yes.
in all of his interviews. Seems very generic and robotic and, you know, pointing to the Lord and all that. But hey,
competition can bring out a different deal, dude.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He's always giving more credit.
Chris Carter used to do that, like man of God, and then he'd come over in the sidelines and MF everybody on the sidelines.
You get between those lines, boy.
You become a little
do
bit
whatever
of a,
it takes to get an edge.
You're a different animal.
Yeah. Time now to go into the Pimp Cup.
Okay,
Lucius
okay,
Alexander.
Okay.
People MF you.
That's LA Live.
Okay. Yeah, Pimp Cup, baby. It's more like it's hot up in here.
You took off the lid.
It's hot up in here, bro. I'm
telling you. Did AC go out for you?
I think so, man. I'm going to bring a fan up in here tomorrow.
All right, it's a Toxic Tuesday. Let's get into it right into the great Rick James.
Well, all right, you squares. It's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. It'll make you dance with some of everything.
Yeah.
Everybody get high.
The guy was having difficulty getting to sleep. And he went to the psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist told him, said, well, if you have difficulty, it's all mental. Say, when you go home, you lay down and relax completely. And say to yourself over and over, toes go to sleep. Feet go to sleep. Legs go to sleep. And so on, all the way up your whole body. He said, and you'll sleep. This guy went home, he laid down. Started. He used the doctor's formula. He said, toes go to sleep. Feet go to sleep. Legs go to sleep. And just as he reached his neck, his wife walked in one of those flimsy negligees. And you could see clear through it. He started patting himself all over and said, wake up, everybody, wake up.
Yeah, buddy.
I like it.
Yeah, that's the great Red Fox right there.
Oh, that's Red Fox.
That's Red Fox right there.
Is that like a young Red Fox?
Yeah, yeah. It's when he was like a cocktail comedian. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They had that rhythm. Boom. Like Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know which one to use. I grabbed like two of them, but I used that one. I had this one on deck too.
There was three dogs running in the woods. It was raining hard. The first dog was throwing mud in the second dog's face. The second dog was throwing mud in the third dog's face. The second dog looked back at the third dog and said, it's a bitch, ain't it? Third dog said, it better be.
It's good stuff right there, bro. I'm telling you. Good stuff, man. R.I.P. to the great Red Fox. This is L.A. Live for Tuesday, August 27th, 2024. It is a Toxic Tuesday here in L.A. Live, which is sponsored by Kissable Dental and their no-bill guarantee. Book online at kissabledental.com. The Kissable journey starts today. General!
Yes, sir?
Did you see this news?
What happened?
You're a flying guy right now.
Oh, my goodness.
A tire on a Boeing 757 exploded during maintenance at Atlanta Airport.
During maintenance?
During maintenance at Atlanta Airport. Two Delta employees lost their lives.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
The plane just exploded.
The tire was
on the ground.
Yeah, okay. They were doing maintenance and boom. Yeah.
So you get like death by shrapnel?
Pretty much, yeah.
Man.
Tires, shards, like.
It was one of their big planes. One of their really big planes.
See, now this is going to be running through my mind.
See?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How do the tires never explode when you're landing?
Yeah.
You know? How are the engines so good? I see car engines breaking down all the time. I see tires going flat all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to tell me just the maintenance and the checkup, like the pre-flight check, gets them good? They're going around with their clipboard. Yep, these tires are fine. What about accidents? I don't know. It doesn't compute in my mind.
I feel you, dog. It's a hell of a run for Boeing, too, by the way. Hell of a run for Boeing.
Yeah,
right
I kind
now.
Of. I always wondered about that walk around, that pilot check thing. You know, they're kind of out there. It's maybe a little cold. You want to be. I mean, you're really looking at that.
Yeah,
you're looking at that stabilizer there on the back of the, you know, the
here,
tail.
Inspect I mean, this. Where's my flashlight?
It's like, oh God, we're in Buffalo and it's.
You can only hope.
He's out there just freezing away. It's like, oh, that looks good to me. You know, oh, don't worry about that ice there, Captain. We'll take.
Yeah,
care
we'll get
of it.
The de-icers going.
Yeah, we'll take care of it, sir.
Also connected to Boeing is those astronauts that are stuck in space. You guys
right?
seen that?
Yeah.
Okay.
The
I feel like that should be a bigger news story, but, you know, they just mention it and go on to the next thing. But that is the time we live in, too.
Is Elon going to go get them?
That's what it's looking like. SpaceX might go up there.
Yeah. And they're giving themselves like a full year of buffer, like sometime in 2025.
Yeah.
You know,
they will spend at least 8 months aboard the International Space Station. They went up there on a Boeing Starliner.
Yeah.
Spacecraft. Oh, my gosh. Boeing. The initial trip was supposed to be only 8 days.
Oh, no.
A three-hour tour.
The weather started getting rough.
Now they got to go up there to the International Space Station with all the other astronauts. Like, oh, man, move over. When are y'all leaving?
How would you like to be that gal's husband back on Earth, too? So, like, what you going to do for the next 8 months, honey?
Did you guys really?
How's old Butch doing?
Yeah. Did you guys really sleep standing Butch. Up?
Oh my God.
I hate to hear it, honey.
Hey, as long
we
as
sure are missing you down here.
Yeah, we are.
I'll tell you what, man.
Shh, honey's on the phone.
If we love you, baby.
If they had plenty of tang, I think I'd stay up there too.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
I think there's only about
you
one
essentials.
Yeah, you gotta have tang. If you're gonna make me stay up there for extra months, I gotta have some tang.
My man said your essentials. Gotta have your essentials. That is a fact check.
Two types of tang.
That is a fact.
I don't need water when I got tang.
That's what it's all about, baby. Oh man, G back of the day. We do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. Follow us all at G Bag Nation on Twitter. Yeah, no, you did that.
I walked into
you
that.
You did that.
Yeah.
Our winner right here is a high school football PA announcer. Got caught in a hot mic situation.
Turn around. Yeah. Pass intended for number 11, Tyler George. Incomplete. Penalty markers down. Turn around, you dumbass. Read his eyes. I don't know why I'm calling a 16-year-old a dumbass.
They're laughing at the box.
Kind of redundant. Maybe it was more ass hat. That was a...
Oh, wow.
Incredible, man.
You think he's talking to a linebacker or a cornerback?
It felt like a corner to me.
Yeah, exactly, bro.
Corner that's got no business playing the position, but...
Turn around!
Be the best we got, man.
Turn around!
I know you shouldn't be playing
turn
corner,
around.
Son.
Turn around. Yeah.
Yeah. Put your eyes on him.
Keep your eyes on him.
Yeah.
I kind of like the statistician guy laughing along with him, though. Jim.
Yeah. LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Toxic Tuesday. Let's get a little toxic. Olympic sprinter Noah Lyles.
Ooh.
The internet calls him kind of weird. They don't like his takes on things.
Nah.
Stirs up a little controversy sometimes.
The NBA community
they're not a fan of him. Every time he posts something, they troll him.
Yeah.
Well, we might have a reason for why he comes off a little weird to us. Olympic sprinter Noah Lyles says he was raised in a cult. He was on the first episode of a new podcast called Everybody Wants to Be Us. Lyles opened up about his uphill battle with the church. Not religion. He said he's very religious.
There you go.
He has his faith and he believes in it. But he says the church. Grew up in a cult. Check this out.
You know what's crazy? This is actually the first time that I've been in a podcast where we talked about religion. Hmm. But I'm going to give my quick religious story. I actually grew up in a cult.
No way.
Wait a minute.
Well, it was a cult. It just wasn't at the level of, okay, we're going to drink the Kool-Aid. But it was it was super strict. All the moms had to be, homeschooling their kids, and the father was the head of the household. Yeah. And, the church told you who you could date, who you couldn't date. If you got married, it had to be through us. That type of behavior. We left, and that's why we moved to North Carolina, because we were going to start another church. Only to figure out they wanted to do the same thing, except they wanted to be the head instead of not the tail.
Yeah.
So we left that, but that kind of really messed up my view in church, and it definitely messed up my mom's view.
That's kind of sad.
Yeah, it is a bummer, dude.
That's just
a
bummer.
Yeah.
He seems to have a good attitude about it.
He's
though.
Got a good. I mean, he laughed.
He did. Yeah.
Hey, religious story. I actually grew up in a cult.
No way.
Poor guy.
Not the kind that drinks the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
I think about those all the time, though. The cults, like the Jim Jones one.
Yeah, Jim Jones. Jim Jones was swaggy, too. He had the glasses and everything. Yeah. He looked the part.
Had a good
like
voice.
Jim Morrison.
Would have been a hell of a talk show.
Yeah, man.
But, even the Branch Davidians down here in Waco, dudes letting guys, the main guy, sleep with their wives and everything.
Yeah.
There's so many obvious signs of, hey, this is getting kind of weird here.
What makes people go along with that?
Yeah, that's the weird thing right there. I wish we knew.
I'd have gathered the family and got to the kolache store. Had some kolaches, got out of there.
Yeah, we're getting out of here.
We're getting out of here.
Before we do that, I'll take two with cheese.
Yeah.
You got any Tang in there?
Yeah, you don't laugh at Tang.
A vitamin fortified.
Hey, yeah. I've overdone it on Tang to the point where it was like my stomach. I hurt my stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good feeling.
Like you're self-serving that stuff.
It's a good feeling.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thought you had some burns or something like that. It was sensitive. We got to skip a night. Let this heal.
Name a modern day cult on the fan text. Name a modern day cult. I'm glad that my man got through that situation and he is opening up to talking about it a little bit. He still kept his faith. He knows. Oh, I'm a little low. But hey, good for him, bro. Yeah. Good for him. Speaking of cults and whatnot, you guys remember televangelist Kenneth Copeland?
I don't remember him.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You do.
Yeah, yeah. Remember Inside Edition?
Is he got a plane still?
Inside Edition.
Oh, yes.
Was following this man.
That face you'll never forget.
Yeah, that face you'll never forget.
He had jet black hair, too.
Haunt you.
And they were talking about his airplanes, his private jets. And he said, you know, God basically said, I need to get these private jets. Mm. Well, televangelist Kenneth Copeland is under fire again. This time it was at Kenneth Copeland's ministry's annual Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth. Kenneth Copeland thanked Jesus for a dying man's seed offering. The dying man gave a Bentley away. And Copeland's getting a little hot water for this.
Mylon Lefevre. Mylon called me. He said, how many Breitlings do you have?
Ooh, watches.
And I said, oh, I don't know, 36, I think. I haven't counted them lately. And I have, in my closet, I have winders, and there's a lot of them in there. And he said, I'm going to give you number 37. Mm. I said, great, Mylon. Now, he's believing God for his keeping. He said, I'm giving you my Bentley, and it has a Breitling clock. Whoa. A Bentley with a... Kirk. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, the dying man had given the Bentley in hopes that it would bring him some healing. Mm. Copeland took that and bragged about it on this situation.
Oh, nice little tradesy.
Yeah. Nice little tradesy.
I think you got pretty good value. Anybody else terminal in here? What you got?
Oh, man. My man said he had 36 Breitlings already. Yeah. 36. God, dog, dude.
Those are some nice-ass watches.
Those are some nice-ass watches. He's got a whole lot of them. Yeah. They just gave him some more. Yeah. That's wild. Mm-hmm. I seen a viral video of Kenneth Copeland. They said he was possessed by a demon.
Yeah,
I think somebody doctored this audio. They definitely put some music behind it, but I think somebody doctored this audio too.
We learn about this this covenant of God. What blood? The blood of this covenant. Oh, God. Cut the covenant with his father God.
Glory.
Yes, like Moses of old, there's coming one. Oh. Don't ever do it. Don't ever feel sorry for yourself. Don't ever do it. Wow.
Yeah, it sounded kind of demonic.
They're saying he's possessed by a demon or something like that. Wild stuff on a Toxic Tuesday, bro. Just some wild stuff. Hey, Mr. Dawson.
Yeah.
Did you hear the new G-Bag Nation AI song?
I did not.
You did not hear that?
Have I been tagged in it?
I don't think so. I think you were out when I played it one time.
This is awesome.
Yeah, I'm going to play it for you again before we get out of here, though.
Bring it.
You didn't hear about
yourself. Is it toxic?
No, it's not toxic. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah. It's the G-Bag Nation, turn the dial, feel the vibration. 105.33, they the fan sensation. Gavin Dawson, the devil's advocate with the smooth talk. Girl, Dale, Dan, repping. He's the
king of the park. Brian Broad is crusty, the football professor. Elder statesman with a ball head, nothing lesser. Scouting eye sharp, and he likes to cook. Breaking down plays, man, just take a look. It's the G-Bag Nation, repping Dallas to the core. Cowboys and Rangers always bringing more. With humor and insight, we keep it alive. G-Bag Nation is the ultimate ride. Zach Wolf, Chuck Willie, bully, funny as hell. Biggest Cowboys fan, yeah, you can tell. Like your favorite little brother, always got your back. Bringing energy and laughter, never off track. Eric Chiafalo, ADHD in the mix. One-liners, topic hoppers, always getting his fix. Yang to the yang, him and Zach a perfect pair. With Eric's fire, there's never a dull affair. It's the G-Bag Nation, reppin' Dallas to the core. Cowboys and Rangers always bringing more. With humor and insight, we keep it alive. G-Bag Nation is the ultimate bride. Lucius Alexander, smooth bass voice supreme. Super producer, keeping the ship on a dream. CBD, oil lubricated, coolest cat on air. Connected to the culture, got that flair. G-Bag Nation putting up a show to see.
Nice, dude.
Yeah. I like that.
Might be one of the better songs we've had.
That was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah. It was a dad and his daughter, I think.
Yes. Yes, it was.
Thanked him. I appreciate that. That was cool.
Putting off like a late 90s hip-hop kind of vibe. Maybe like Shaq could be spinning it. You know, as a DJ Diesel. You see that?
Yes, I did. I like it. Modern day cult cowboy fan base. Wow. Come on now. CrossFit, modern day cults. Texas A&M, modern day cults.
That's what they say. That's what they say.
That's strong right there.
Scientology.
Oh, that's the biggest one.
Tolo, what?
Cat's out of the bag.
Tolos.
All right, man. My name is Lucius Alexander. Lord willing and the creek don't rise. I'll be back here tomorrow. That's my time. Holla.
There he goes. LA Live every night about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. We got to step aside and talk with Jared Sandler. Little Rangers preview coming at you. Around the Bases brought to you by Uber Eats. With the pregame coming up at 6:30, what's cracking with your Rangers? We'll discuss that next here.